non-meandered waters.
All right, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Secretary Hepler. Kevin Roblin here, Special Projects Coordinator for Game Fish and Parks. Legislative session is nearing the final days, and non-meandered water policy definitely has been discussed in great detail. The department has been busy meeting with legislators, testifying at hearings, and providing requested information. Along those lines, there's been a lot of one-on-one contact with legislators, just letting them know how things are going, how things are progressing, discussing implementation procedures and policy and process, and things have been good in that manner. There was 5 pieces of legislation that directly impacted non-meandered waters. Those were Senate Bill 24, Senate Bill 170, Senate Bill 199, House Bill 1081, and House Bill 1246. Of those 5, we are down to 2 of those. 2 out of the 5 bills are still on the table today. Just as of yesterday, House Bill 1081, which removed the sunset clause altogether, was passed by the Senate and is now waiting for the governor's signature. The only amendment was that it had completely removed the sunset clause. So the current legislation that's currently in place would still be in place. However, the sunset clause would be completely removed. Senate Bill 24, which extends the sunset clause 3 years, is still waiting to be voted on in the House. That sits on the House floor. That action, I'm sure, will occur in the next few days. To date, and I'll have Secretary Hepler maybe talk a little more about the legislative process. You want to do that now, Secretary, or should I go through the rest of the update? Okay, so to date, 5,009 acres have been marked closed. So since we've met, oh, it would have been back in January because we had no February meeting, we did add a few closures to the list. And really the main reason was ice fishing. You know, there was very little snow. The ice was very good. Lots of lakes were accessible, and we are at 5,009 acres. And that is of the 244,000 acres of non-meandered waters that are publicly accessible throughout the state. So we're still well below that 2% mark of water that could be closed that is publicly accessible. And that includes closures or partial closures on 23 different water bodies and right around 19 different landowners. So we're working with all those folks on a weekly basis, per se, in a lot of cases. Discussion with landowners have been ongoing, and most landowners have requested to wait until legislative session is over before any access agreements are finalized. And this has been a very consistent message. Folks want to wait before session is over and finalized, and they know exactly what type of legislation they're going to be dealing with or working with in the near future, or in the future, I should say. And I do have, and we do have, with the help of Rhett Russell, numerous landowner meetings are being scheduled throughout March, and March is going to be a busy month talking with landowners. You know, the farming gets very busy in the Northeast come April and planting season, and we'd like to get a lot of these meetings done before that time. And the department's very optimistic about getting, you know, some of those currently closed waters open. I've had a lot of great discussions with landowners in the last couple of months. It's been fantastic relationship building. There's folks that really appreciate us reaching out to them, and it has been a great experience thus far, and I'm sure that experience will continue in the future. We continue to encourage recreational users to visit our website for the most up-to-date information and remind folks all waters are open through landowner permission. And you know, there's 2 things I hear the most from landowners. They really want to know who's out recreating on that flooded property, and they want to be respected. And those are the 2 main things. And I've heard it sitting around the table, not just from 1 or 2, but at least a 6 to 12 folks that have the same message. The non-meandered water closure map is also available, or the most up-to-date information is also available on our website. And I always encourage folks, if they have questions or want to get the most accurate up-to-date information, that they should go to our website. The non-meandered water closure map is available on our newly updated GFP mobile app. It's going to be under maps and then under access and units. And that's a very handy tool that fishermen have really appreciated. They can actually pull it up on their smartphone. They can look at the non-meandered waters that have been closed, and they can see exactly where they are in comparison to what waters are closed. Very helpful map. The communication staff have been posting question and answers on the department's social media pages, and education outreach continues to be a very high priority to the department. I've been discussing and talking with not only landowners but sportsmen groups as well, and we encourage folks to be involved with that process. There's been a lot of information sharing on social media, and that effort's going to continue. We do have the upcoming transition from ice to open water, and we do have signs out there on buckets and signs on posts and signs on wooden furrowing strips, so there are some work that needs to be done there, and the department is planning to send letters to all landowners that have marked closures to remind them to retrieve those signs that are not permanently fixed. There are some signs that they drilled the hole through the ice and they got, you know, they welded two T-posts together essentially, and they made a 10 or 12 foot T-post out of that, and those signs are permanently fixed. There's others though that are sitting on the ice, and also we're just going to remind them of the buoy marking requirements, so there'll be a process there. This is our, you know, a couple months ago I talked about ice season being the first time marking ice. Now this is the first time we're going from ice to open water, so there's always going to be that transition working through something new. And then just lastly, I wanted to inform the commission that the petition to close approximately 30 acres of water on Section 8 Goose Lake in Cotton County will be heard on April 6th at 10 a.m. immediately following the regular April commission meeting, and that'll be in Rapid City at the Outdoor Campus West. So that petition will be scheduled to be heard at 10 a.m. on April 6th at the Rapid City Outdoor Campus West. And with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
Do we have any questions for Kevin? Secretary Hepler, comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Kelly Hepler, Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks. Thank you, Kevin. You've done some outstanding work. I just wanted to, I guess, been the legislature enough, just some personal privilege, just to say I know this has been a very long process. This has been a very emotional process, starting, you know, from the first Supreme Court hearing, you know, case came out 2004, then Dury versus Hepler last March, which led to close to the restrictions we had in the Northeast waters. There's a lot of passion on both sides. You start talking about personal property rights, you start talking about the privilege of hunting and fishing, which is dear to everybody in this room, many of the listeners, and it draws that out. And that's a good thing, because I'd never want to live in a state that people didn't care, people didn't want to engage in that. You know, we must have lived in downtown Phoenix if that's what we want to do, so that's a good thing. You know, and the legislature did what they wanted, what they should do. They went through, and I think it was a very detailed process. I applaud the opponents and the proponents of all the measures went through. It was a very good discussion, very healthy discussion. I know there's some disappointed people. They didn't get some of the ideas they wanted through. I'm also naive enough to know this isn't going to go away. I think having that sunset clause go away was important for this consistency sake, that permanence there to have those kind of discussions. It helps with marketing. It's going to help with our negotiations. But that by no means means the discussion around this thing is over with. It doesn't mean that at all. But what's important now, though, is after we have these kind of very impassioned debates, as we all draw together and try to get this thing implemented. You know, social media is a wonderful tool. Give me a great communication tool, but there's some responsibility that comes along with that. And there's discussions like happened that some people, and I don't know if it's in jest or whether it's serious, they're talking about some of these closed waters that Kevin was just describing. Once you get it open, those waters still remain closed. They're talking about they're going to go out and introduce Asian carp in these waters. Now, I understand, I mean, people talk back and forth. I get in conversations I certainly wouldn't want to be put in front of everybody. I get that. But this is out in front of people. And I just, it's a wrong thing to even talk about. That's not responsible. Whether those animals live or die because the water's not flowing, that isn't the issue. I'm just saying, you know, we need to vent that stuff and get it through. We need to work together. This is not going to work if we don't have the landowners and both recreation users working together toward that respect that we talk about. I have a lot of confidence. We've seen some inroads, which we never thought we'd see. And from the GFP perspective, you know, through Kevin and Loretta and people in the Northeast region, we're having conversations we haven't had before. I know there's going to be some problems. I'll be one of the first people in this room to come back. If this thing doesn't work like we think it's supposed to, I'll be the first person in line for me to work on this. So there again, I applaud everybody for the work that they've done. Actually, the work just starts now, but this is going to be the fun work. But, you know, last spring is what I dubbed a silent spring. It's not going to happen this year. So we are going to be out fishing. So, Kevin, you know, appreciate your work and what you're doing so far. Certainly appreciate the work of Mike and everybody in the, you know, the Northeast Region Fisheries Department. I really do appreciate that. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. So just to clarify for people, we are less than a year into to the non-meandered legislation that was passed last year. And so in that legislation was a sunset clause of 3 years, correct? Or am I, was it
the
five?
House Bill 1001, actually, the sunset clause was June 30th of 2018. So
okay.
They had to act on that current legislation, and that was, the response was Senate Bill 24, which extended it 3 years, and then House Bill 1081, which actually removed the sunset clause altogether. So right now, like I said earlier, the House Bill 1081 is sitting on the governor's desk for signature. That would then remove the sunset clause altogether, and the current legislation would be in place.
And would carry forward.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I forgot this. This is an important part, because we heard a lot of things, you know, and particularly when you go through is that, you know, people are saying, you know, some staff, me in particular, you know, weren't caring about opportunity. I didn't care about fishing opportunity. All I cared about working those landowners, which absolutely isn't the truth. I mean, I do care about working the landowners, but I'm doing it because I believe in fishing opportunity. I believe in conservation. I believe in getting that access. But one thing that's important to do is we're talking about this, Narden Peterson's in the room. Hopefully we're going to get this together, but right now, like 21st of April, which is on a Saturday, we're going to try to get what I call a summit and get the people involved, you know, people in this room and others listening, the main leaders of some of the sporting organizations together and talk. And we need to hear from what people, it's the bow hunters, other people, what are the issues in face in front of you? We have a lot of things that this has been a very motivated commission. We've got a lot of things floating out there on, you know, on deer and different things, and we're going to get some discussions on archery. We want to be able to talk about those things. We want to be able to listen and see what's on your mind. We got the whole implementation side of non-meandering waters we need to talk about. We heard all the great discussions on Lower Oahe. You know, where's our fishery in Lower Oahe? We need to discuss those type of things. Where are we with pheasant habitat? You know, we got things we're working on you may not even be aware of, but the idea is to put this together. You know, we are going to have a transition when governor's come in another 7 months, and then that would become potentially a transition document we can hand off to the next administration saying, here's what the sporting community is saying to us. And so the challenge is going to be is, you know, how do we make sure we reach out and grab the people we really need to be there? This isn't meant to be, you know, 1,000 people, but we want the key people to be there and sit down and talk about that. So I just wanted to take that opportunity. And part of that, I mean, I truly do need to listen. We have a strategic plan. I need to talk about how we're doing on that, and would we miss something? This is a way to talk about that also. So, Arden, you know, I know we'll get some information out there fairly quickly. So then we're going to start contacting people, and we're going to, you know, so then you're going to get a word. So certainly commissioners will let you know as that comes closer. And we certainly encourage any commissioner who's available to certainly come in and listen to that. But that'll be a one-day meeting, like 9 to 3. Then we'll see if maybe we get out and do a little fishing. You know, hopefully the ice is off by that time. So we'll spend a little more time in the Missouri Basin, ma'am, to get people out. So we'll do that out, Chairman. I think it's what we're talking about doing, but we'll get that out. Hopefully within a week or so, we'll get some notice out to everybody. So, you know, we thank you for your time again, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Well, it is important, and the commission appreciates the department's efforts to communicate with the public on this. And if you have concerns, certainly come to that meeting and be present. Anything else, Kevin? Any other questions? Yes, Commissioner Jensen.
Do we have rules in place prohibiting transplanting fish from other places to these bodies of water and penalties that are associated with it?
Yes, to my knowledge, Commissioner Jensen, we do have rules in place that would make that activity illegal at this time, yes.
Anything else? Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 7, mobile app progress. And just a reminder, at 2 o'clock, we will have the public hearing on the finalizations that are on the agenda here today. So With that, we'll have an update on our mobile app.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of commission.
Turn your
on. Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, member of commission of the commission, and Secretary Hepler.
And you are?
I'm Callie Worth, digital content strategist for the department. Okay, so since the launch of the new GFP website on January 9th, we've been following the analytics behind the site. And when comparing these analytics from the previous year, we had noticed trends and continue to monitor these trends as they have valuable information for the changes that we've made in the website. So when we compare January 9th, 2017 and February 25th, 2017 to those same dates in 2018, we are currently averaging 5,000 more page views per day. We do expect this number to drop as we do realize that this is a new site and people are searching for the new locations, what they want to see. Another reason we expect this number to drop in comparison to the previous site is because we have designed it so that there are less pathways and less number of pages to click through to get to what the users are wanting to actually look for. The bounce rate, which is a user opening the page, having zero interaction with it, and exiting out of the page has dropped 12% in comparison to 2017. We are still seeing mobile usage the same as it was before at 40%, and we don't expect this to drop as the mobile trend isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Our new search function is very robust. We can now track the keywords that people are searching for. This can tell us if certain items need to be brought forward or more easily accessible to the users. So as you can see, people search for lake maps, lake surveys, Custer State Park, paddlefish, turkey, mountain lion, state fish records, spring turkey, 90-day calendar, jobs, and stocking reports. And this is something that we will monitor and find the trends and the keywords and discuss if something needs to be changed. And we also have been watching which pages have been visited on the site. This is a list that we have predicted from just the past website what was the most popular. So licenses, people are coming to get their licenses. State parks, search for which state park somebody wants to visit. Hunt, all the species, fish, same thing. Custer State Park, camp, which is also campsd.com, has all the camping information on there. The fish surveys, reports, and maps, which are the stocking reports, the lake surveys, the lake maps, some of those same keywords that you guys saw. Our map gallery, things to do, regulation, and education. And now we will move into the mobile app. So we launched the mobile app on February 15th. And some of the features include, which you'll see on the right, is a GPS-enabled sunrise-sunset table, the regulations, the map gallery, a customizable digital backpack, the mountain lion harvest stats. You can purchase your license or reserve a campsite. And also below that, there are key date features, which I'll talk about on the next slide. You must allow GPS and notifications for all these features to work properly, which your phone will alert you once you download or update that app. And you must have system iOS 10 or up and Android 6 and up in order for the app to work properly. And on the left, you will see the customizable backpack feature. This is probably the biggest change. This is where you'll log in to see your license, have key dates stored, will download your handbooks and maps. For the licenses, you will have to sign in each time as there is personally identifiable information. on your licenses, so that has changed from the past app. But they are still available offline. So if you are somewhere without service, it's going to pull up the last license that you pulled up on that phone. The key date setup, which is the feature on the right, we heard through focus groups that people wanted a way to be reminded of an application closing date coming up. So the key feature date or key feature setup is what we came up with. You can opt into receiving notifications of the game type you would like. So the app will send a push notification to your phone 7 days prior to the season opening and closing dates, as well as the application opening and closing dates. Looking at the analytics behind the map, we launched the app the day prior to Pheasant Fest in Sioux Falls. So we were able to promote the new app to the appropriate audience and help them with any questions they may have, and also educate them on some of the new features. We heard great feedback from people that had already downloaded it and started to explore through the app a little bit. In February alone, there was 547 iOS downloads and 560 Android downloads. We know that our mobile app is an app that users download when they need it, for example, during deer season, and then delete it. We will watch these analytics in the upcoming seasons and are excited to see those numbers. We continue to promote the website and mobile app through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So our social media is the main point where we promote and educate users on this. Pulse and Marketing has also published their blog post about the new additions. We continue to have newspapers reach out. Tomorrow there will be an edition in the Outdoor Forum in the Aberdeen American News. And we will be doing an afternoon segment on KOTA TV in Rapid on March 7th. And are there any questions?
Thank you. So it's getting a lot of play then.
Yes, it is. So far, we're looking forward to the upcoming seasons when people will be able to use those features, and that's when they're more likely to download those that app. Yep. Hey.
Kathy.
Okay, Commissioner Peterson, I just wanted to thank you guys for continually working to update these and make it more user-friendly all the time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, at this time, we will move into the public hearing portion of the meeting. Purpose of the public hearing is to comment on the finalizations, of which we have four before us today. And Scott, you're going to